worship's freedom. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Words of Jesus, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, good Thursday, Fred. How you doing? It's Joey Kroll with you. That's right. It's the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on this August the 27th. And I pray that you're having yourself a great week. So, the kids and grandkids officially in school for the school year. Our kids started on Monday, and they're doing pretty good. They're getting used to the new schedule. I'll tell you what, you know, after having the summer off, it's hard to get readjusted, not just physically, but also mentally, on the schedule of having to get up early, make the lunches, make the breakfast, and all of that stuff. It's a lot of work, but I pray that the adjustment in your family is going well. I know we sat down to look at the calendar, add some events. I know there's already open house for our school, so we've been sitting down with the calendar, updating this and doing this and that. And yeah, it can get quite hectic and busy. But speaking of getting the calendar out, I hope that you have a chance to mark down Thursday night, April 7th, 2016, on your calendar. That is the anniversary date of Great News Radio, and we're going to have a big 20th anniversary celebration. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is going to be coming down to be part of that celebration. Now, we're still kind of working out the details in terms of where it's going to be, the time, all of that stuff. But, pray for this radio ministry. Pray for Mark. He does a great job of establishing that stuff and relationships and everything. So, yeah, but in the meantime, put down Thursday night, April 7th, 2016, on your calendar. We'd love for you to be part of our 20th anniversary celebration. And once we get more details, we will certainly pass that along to you. And it's all in celebration of our 20th year of broadcasting here on Great News Radio. As you know, we are listener-supported, which means we don't air commercials. We don't get grants from the government. We don't have a rich uncle anywhere, not that we know of, but we really do depend on God's grace and your financial gifts. Prayerfully consider, talk with your spouse about joining the 2020 Challenge here on Great News Radio. It's a gift of $20 a month for the next 20 months. Your support will continue to help us maintain our equipment, update our equipment, take care of a lot of odds and ends, but most of all, it will help us continue to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ through word, through song, 24 hours a day. So consider taking the 2020 challenge by becoming a monthly giver, or you can share that one-time gift of $400, regardless of your amount. Your gift is truly, truly appreciated. You can sign up for the 2020 Challenge by clicking on the banner at our website, greatnewsradio.org, or you can just call Karen, and she can take care of it over the phone, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, coming up here in a few moments, we're going to be taking a little study on fasting. I know that's something that most Americans don't like to talk about, but we're going to take a biblical look at fasting coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All this joy that's growing deep inside of me. And every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Makes me sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. see. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All this joy that's growing deep inside of me. And every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me.
That's right. We are lifting up and celebrating the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. My name is Joey Kroll. And, you know, the concept of instant gratification has taken on a whole new meaning here in recent years. You know, it really is amazing when you talk with somebody and you have a question or you're talking about something and need to get information or a fact. You can just say, oh, hang on a second. Let me Google that. You know, because we don't like to wait for anything anymore. It's become so normal, in fact, that the only time we notice technology's pervasiveness is when it doesn't work, right? You ever go to work and the Wi-Fi or the internet is down, or you're in a remote area and you can barely get signal on your phone? We live in a day and age where we need that instantness, that gratification. And honestly, I think some of us, including myself, I'm raising my hand up very high over here. Sometimes that bleeds over into our walk with the Lord. God, I prayed for this thing 2 minutes ago. You haven't answered it. Right? Remember the days when we were encouraged to wait upon the Lord? In fact, it's still true today. We ought to wait upon Him. And long before all of these conveniences of cell phones, tablets, computers, and so on and so forth, Christians recognized that there was a grace and a gift available to us in learning to say no to self, in learning to wait upon the Lord, as the psalmist says. It's a practice that has roots all the way back to the life of Israel, to the life of Jesus, and through the church for 2,000 years. It's the practice of fasting. Intentionally abstaining from foods for a determined period of time in order to cultivate a hunger for God, an awareness of His presence, and a sense of our misplaced reliance upon satisfaction from the world around us. So if you have your Bible, turn to, we're going to look at a few different passages today. We're going to be talking about fasting. Fasting can be a physical expression of repentance. You know, in a world where we constantly say yes to self, where we have easy access to almost anything and everything we want, fast is not only a way of saying no to ourselves, it's also a way of repenting of a life that's dependent upon this moment-by-moment habit of instant gratification. You know, it's a way to recognize with our bodies that, that we aren't dependent upon food or in some cases entertainment, technology, or whatever it is for our ultimate satisfaction. Fasting creates a roadblock in the ordinary rhythms of life. When we fast from food, we post a sign at the moments of our day when we normally eat meals, snacks, and so forth that reminds us to pray. You know, it's great. I've talked to many Christians who say, you know, when I have my belly tell me that I'm hungry, it's an indicator that I need to pray when I'm on a fast. So a call to fast is a call to wake up, to turn around. It reminds us that there is so much more to life than the daily grind and that we are more than merely physical creatures. Fasting invites us to remember our soulful nature, that we are dependent upon God's provision both physically and spiritually. We are so prone to forget how dependent we are. I don't know about you, but I am. So a call to fast is a call to wake up, to turn around. It's an expression of repentance, as the prophet Joel said. Joel 2:12 says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Now notice that Joel's call wasn't to jump through a few hoops. We aren't just asked to fast, weep, and mourn, something we can do without having any part of our heart moved. We're called to turn to the Lord, the Bible says here in Joel 2:12, with all of your heart. See, God doesn't want fasting just to inflict pain or to earn brownie points for us. He wants us to fast in response to a repented heart. Biblically, fasting comes from a heart that's already broken over sin. And it's a means of expressing and experiencing through our bodies a hunger for God. So the urgency in Joel's message can also be heard in the book of Jonah, when the king of Nineveh called his people to repentance after hearing the prophet Jonah's warning. So Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, and this was in response to Jonah's message. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Talk about an awesome response to what God was calling them to do. You know, friend, fasting is a repentant act done in recognition of the fact that we are sinners in need of God's grace and mercy, right? By fasting, we commit to saying no to ourselves and yes to God, trusting that the provision coming from His presence is far more important for our souls than food. Also, fasting must be done with the right motives. It seems like there are two extremes for Christians when it comes to fasting. On one side, there are those who would simply dismiss fasting as some kind of a legalistic set of requirements. On the other side of those who make fasting more like an Olympic event, making sure that we all know that they're fasting for a long time and that they're suffering in the process. To both sides, Jesus offered us some simple instructions. From Matthew chapter 6:16-18, Jesus said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So on the other hand of the spectrum are those who fast loud and proud, Jesus was talking about here, posting about their agony of a missed meal on Facebook, letting everybody know that they are fasting, so that maybe they can get the recognition that they're super spiritual. And I'll tell you what, when we do that, friend, we're missing the point. We're missing the point when we do that. Because the whole point of fasting is so that we can deny ourselves and be filled with Him. Less of us, more of Him. So when we're telling folks in boastful ways, with the extent purpose to be boastful and look super spiritual, then it's defeating the whole purpose. We're building us up rather than God. And to these folks, Jesus offered incredibly simple, practical advice. He started by offering some perspective on fasting with the phrase, they have received their reward. By making their fast a public spectacle, they've chosen the praise of people rather than the comfort of God's presence. Instead, Jesus invited them to clean up. He told them, anoint their head with oil and wash their face to look their best and keep the fact that we're fasting between us and God. Now, there's nothing wrong letting your spouse know, hey, you know what? We're going to pray over this. We're going to fast over this. But with the extent purpose to boast and be proud about it. That's what Jesus was talking about here. See, by taking our eyes off of the things of the world, we can more successfully turn our attention to Christ. Fasting is not a way to get God to do what we want. He's not our puppet. We ought to be His, right? Fasting changes us, not God. Fasting is not a way to appear more spiritual than others. Fasting is to be done in the spirit of humility and a joyful attitude.
Yeah.
Yes, Phillips, Craig, and Dean, when I survey the wonderful cross. That's right, friend. How good it is to know that the cross of Jesus Christ still stands today. The hope of glory resonates with every believer, and no matter what, God is still on his throne, no matter what. Amen. Whew. Well, friend, I do thank you so much just for your time and your attention today and your fellowship. I look forward to that each and every week. You can always catch up with me. My email address is joey@greatnewsradio.org. I'd love to hear from you. Well, coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. In the meantime, friend, I hope you remember that you are salt, you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.